This is an ABC podcast.
This is Neat and Footy with Sam Wykes and Chinidal Arona on ABC Radio Australia.
Malolele and welcome to Neesian Footy, the only place that shouts out our Pacifica brothers and sisters killing it in the Rugby League and Rugby New Worlds. My name is Sam Wykes and alongside me is a man who is still on a high after Wednesday night, the Cook Island clairvoyant, Tinirau Arona T. You guessed it, mate. 10 points.
It's been a long time. Jeez, oh my days. Wednesday night, I was the happiest man in the whole of New South Wales was the happiest people in Australia. Mate, getting game three, the decider, man, it's a good feeling. And I hope Totai Kefu remembers our bet that we had.
We'll and where's the blue jersey? I'm sure he would. He's a rugby union man, integrity. But you know how I knew you were on a high?
Why?
Because you walked in with boots on. Like, you know, you got your best boots on. There used to be joggers, boots, the working boots. I've never seen them before. So
I thought I'd wear them.
So look good today?
Nah, yeah.
Look good, feel good.
Look good, feel good. But we'll touch more on the State of Origin shortly. We'll also catch up with Totai Kefu and cover all the international rugby. I didn't know there were so many rugby games happening.
It's test season, mate. It's the test window.
Well, they need to do better promoting the game, mate.
You're probably not wrong there, actually.
We'll also catch up with Sala Tongatuki. She is only 1 week away from her NRLW season with the West Tigers, and we'll have a quick preview on the upcoming NRL round. So what a show we have in store for you, all our listeners.
Yeah, let's rip into it.
Hey, it's Payne Hussey from the Brisbane Broncos. You are listening to Neesian Footy.
Right, IT, obviously we mentioned Origin, that was on Wednesday night. Give us a wrap up. What did you love about the whole series, our Pacifica players, even just the way that game went as well?
Mate, it was probably the first time I got to watch a game and sit back and just be in awe and not have the coach's hat on, not have any, like, look at any detail. I was just locked in and watching like a fan. You know, when I'm watching rugby league games, I'm like looking at numbers, I'm looking at structure. But in this game, just sat there, locked in, and just appreciating the contacts, appreciating the bravery. You know, I have to acknowledge every player that was on that field because, geez, they put on a show. That's what State of Origin is about. You know, that's what we hope every year, every game is that physical, that intense. But, yeah, well done to the Blues for getting the job done, winning the series in Suncorp. Now, I've got a few fun facts here. So first time ever New South Wales have came back from behind at halftime to win the game at Suncorp. Now that 15 times they had lost the game from being behind at halftime. Also, Michael Maguire, Madge, the head coach for New South Wales, he becomes the third coach ever to win an Origin series in his coaching debut. And Val Holmes, Cook Islander Valentine Holmes, who we've had here on Neesian Footy, he kicked 12 from 12 this Origin series. Only Nathan Cleary in 2021 has kicked 13 from 13. He kicked more in Origin series without missing one goal. The hammer, Hamiso Tabuai-Fido, he had a six-game try-scoring streak. You know, that came to an end on Wednesday night, but he equals the longest try-scoring streak in Origin history.
Man, you're right. It's crazy to think that Queensland didn't score a try. Though when you think about those 4 points just off the boot of Val Holmes. But, T, you've played in the middle. You've played prop, NRL, Super League. You know, what caught your eye in terms of were you impressed with the fact that those big boppers in the middle and the ferociousness of the physicality of that game?
First one was the Payne Huss hit up off the kickoff. The very first hit up, he just off the back fence, steams on, and I think he runs at Cope Capewell. And, you know, usually off those kickoffs, you're not breaking the line or you're not dinting through, but Payne Huss set the tone and he ends up like going through the defensive line, finding like getting down to the ground. Now that sets the tone for New South Wales. I think defensively on both ends, that line speed, if you look at the meters across all the individual players, they were quite low compared to what they usually get in the NRL games. Now, that's because of the line speed. That's because the defensive attitude from both teams, they were getting after it, just getting up in their faces, trying to cut that the meters gained. The other one was, I'll speak about them now. So two players that stood out for me in the New South Wales camp, Payne Haas, Spencer Lenu. Spencer Lenu coming off the bench. I know he only had 26 minutes, but his series being his first State of Origin game, remember he had missed...
He looked like a veteran out there.
He had missed the first eight games of NRL, and he still gives the gets the opportunity and absolutely ran amok in all three games. I think he almost took out both hookers in the space of 5 minutes, you know, running at Ben Hunt, running at Harry Grant as well. But those two really stood up and set the tone in the middle. And I thought Jerome Luai, I think this series, one of his best series, definitely matured as a player, didn't overplay his hand, and it was his try that, his try assist that broke the game open.
Angus Crichton, flick pass back to Watson, juggled it, and then Cable runs into him. He tosses it on the grass, scooped up by Jerome. Luai straight pass to Ney, over halfway to 40. He's got Walsh to beat. He passes it away to Best. Best gets away from one, runs through Ponga, and he's over to score. Bradman does Best, and I tell you what, he left his Newcastle teammate clutching at thin air.
It's quite deafening hearing the crowd in the background.
You can still hear
it. Still hear it. Like that's amazing. But you're right, Jerome Luai was outstanding. And when you talk about the defensive efforts from Queensland, they were pretty connected. It was tit for tat in terms of their pressure, way that they were handling it. And the only way you break down defences, it has to come off some type of unstructured play. And, you know, from Connor Watson, it was just a bobbled ball. And you just see Jerome Luai just see that opportunity and he takes it and gas it through.
Yeah. Even the little battle between Daly Cherry-Evans and Jerome Luai, I think Daly got out real early, shot up in Jerome's face, and then he dropped the ball. And then that kind of set the tone. Then Jerome's like, all right, sweet, we're going to play like that. And then every time Daly touched the ball, Jerome's trying to get up in his face. And then they had that push and shove. And I'm just so glad that the game wasn't ruined by that little push and shove that happened where, you know, spilled over into the Queensland bench. And then we had a couple players from the Blues camp run over and protect their players. But unfortunately, we won't see Cam Murray and also big Homole Olakau'atu the next couple of weeks for their clubs because they've been handed a 2-game suspension each for, you know, running into the scuffle.
First man ever to be sent off with a suit on, that's what they're saying.
In my view, I'd probably do the same, going when you've got two Blues jerseys surrounded by 13, 14 Maroon jerseys. I'll probably run in and go and protect, you know, especially when it's Jerome and Bizza. You want to go in and protect your players. So it's not a good look, but I do understand,
why
it happened.
What happens?
I'll quickly touch on, though, Jerome Luai, the troll, mate, he gets up a couple more minutes to go in the game, starts waving at the crowd as the Queenslanders are walking out. He's waving, and then he posts that night, him in front of, is it Caxton Hotel?
Caxton Hotel, yes.
Saying goodnight to everyone while no one's at Caxton Hotel, mate. What a what a man.
There's a lot of fuel there for Queensland next year in terms of what you can play in your lead up, those photos, those moments, the team song.
I love just, the team song.
Yeah, mate. It's easy motivation. Just go, I don't want to feel that again for the Queenslanders. But hey, well done to the Blues. Oh, outstanding. And just speaking of those celebrations, Brian Tuttle, full kit, still the next day on the plane, even when he gets home in his house, still wearing it.
Who was the OG still wear the kit the next day?
It was always Cameron Smith, wasn't it?
Dylan Napa.
Oh, Napa was it? Yeah.
After they won the tournament, I think it was.
So he was the original.
He's the OG walking through boots. Oh, no, I think he had shoes, but socks, shorts, and jersey the next day after his grand final win. But I won't be biased and stay on the New South Wales camp. I will mention a couple players for the Queenslanders. I thought Moiaki Fotuaika, I thought the way that he started the game, Billy Slater, the head coach for Queensland, he ended up making some changes. He started the game, and I thought he really stood up and set the tone for Queensland defensively and with the ball. And I still love, like, Valentine Holmes, when he plays Origin, he is a different beast. The way that he carries off that back fence and just throws his body in the defensive line and then kicking them goals as well. Origin Val Holmes, a different animal.
Yeah, best ever, final one, best ever Origin in your eyes?
Yes, in my eyes, definitely.
Outstanding, mate. And where can you hear the next games?
You can hear that on ABC Radio Australia.
Outstanding work, T. Let's move over. It's going to be hard to go off the back of that with rugby union.
Just save it for Toto.
I'll let him do all the heavy lifting in the rugby chat. But no, as I said on Monday, I would wait until Friday to name some of the big name signings that will most likely end up at the Waratahs. Still not official yet, but a lot of outlets have already mentioned that the Tongan Thor, Daniela Tupou and Isaac Ailea will go to the Waratahs next year.
I noticed another Niger name as well.
Yeah, there is another one. There's big Rob Leota. Is that who you're talking about?
No, on the social media post, there was another.
Oh, no, Lukan Salakailoto has gone back to the Reds.
Oh, he's gone back.
Yeah, he's gone back to the Reds from the Rebels. Obviously, with the fallout from the Rebels, they were going to land somewhere. But, Rob Leota, the sixth, the back rower, the former Rebels captain, it looks like he'll head over to the Waratahs as well. So there's a lot of positive signs there for the Tars for next year, especially when we look at Joseph Swali. He's still heading there. So far, no other news to say that he's not going to do a backflip. There could be some really good signs there for the Waratahs with the inclusion of some of those big Pacifica names.
That's some good names, eh? Some high-profile players. And also, is it the GM?
The GM. Well, I think they've renamed it the Director of Performance.
Okay.
But yeah, Simon Rabalui, you know, the big Fiji man. I think he played over 500 first-class games over in England and France in his time. He's got a great record, and I feel like there's just going to be a different feel for the Waratahs next year, and so it should be. They're one of the heavyweights. They're one of the big teams in the competition. They should be doing well. So with those inclusions, we're looking forward to seeing how they go for sure. But we've also got Tonga versus Spain, New Zealand and Fiji, some big games. Wallabies take on Georgia, and we see some names come into the Wallaby team. We see Len Ikitau from the Brumbies. He's recovered from his hamstring injury, so he'll line up in the 13 jersey. So PNG prop from the Reds, Zane Nongor, comes in, as well as Alan Alaalatoa comes onto the starting side with Isaac Ailea, and Alan will take over the captaincy for this game. So Wallabies are looking to go three in a row in Test footy. Hopefully they can go in with a lot of momentum when they come up against South Africa and New Zealand and Argentina in the Rugby Championships for that one. With the Tonga-Spain game, obviously coming off the loss to Italy last week, plenty of positives from that game, but also some real big work-ons and simple work-ons, and hopefully we can see that shift in execution against Spain, because Spain put up a really good fight against Samoa the week before, so it's not going to be an easy game. But I feel like, you know, with some new inclusions, like Lotu Anisi, who had an outstanding year for Moana Pacifica, they're really going to beef up the pack and hopefully bend the line and just finish off some of the good work that they did from last week. Fiji, New Zealand, this will be a big one over in San Diego. I think we'll definitely go into more detail with Kef, but what I'm looking forward to Fiji is just to see Sammy Radradra back in the former leaguey. He's been around for a while now. He's really come of age, you know, in his rugby union. I guess his skill set, he'll be playing on the wing, plays 13. But I'm curious to see how Mick Byrne uses his strike power, because you just don't want him wasted out on the wing. You need him roaming. You need him popping up off the nine's hip.
You need the ball in his hands.
You need him in his hands. You don't want to waste him out there, especially against the All Blacks. Do you know, when I was in high school, I played on the wing for league? For Patrician Brothers?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And I was so bad. I was terrible. And then they were telling me to go and take a scoot against Westfields, and they had, like, some big names there. I didn't want to do it. I was scared.
Well, that's when scooting was the...
Oh, man, I don't want to do that.
That's when scooting, it was the, you know, get in, five scooch for a kick, or the outside back. Yeah. Scooting, run that big C line. Whereas now they're just, like, forwards. Nah, you get it off the nine, you get... deeper, run onto the ball and try and run through the defensive line.
There you go. But so wingers, they're worth their weight in gold, the wingers, so in both codes. I think for Fiji, hopefully we can see Semi get involved early on that. But the Under-20 Championship, Fiji versus Spain tonight. Both teams have come out unlucky so far. Hopefully Fiji can secure the win in the 11th place playoff. And the World Rugby Under 20 Trophy, Samoa lost 46-29 to the Netherlands. So they finished sixth in that tournament. Samoa lost to the Netherlands. That's unbelievable.
Samoa lost to the Netherlands.
Yeah, under 20s. How does that happen? Oh, they need to fix up that pathway. So you can't be losing to the Netherlands. No way. But T, that's our rugby chat. Where are we going next?
We are going to Sala Tongatuki to cover all things rugby league.
The rugby league preview.
Now comes the way to the right edge. Tongatuki!
With Sala Tongatuki.
Yes, every Friday we are blessed to have our rugby league expert, Fetu Samoan, New South Wales origin and NRLW superstar, premiership winner with the Roosters and Tigers best and fairest, Sala Tongatuki. Sala, welcome back to another Nijin Footy Fridays.
Thanks, T. It was good to be back. Yay.
I've touched on it earlier during the footy updates, but geez, it's good to be from New South Wales, bleed blue, and you know, you represented New South Wales yourself. Just quickly, what was the one highlight and one standout for you that the game three decider?
I don't know, like it was just a good grind. Like it went for ages. I don't think they scored in the first half. So that goal kick penalty, which I thought was rigged. I'm sorry, guys, just being biased. But it was such a good game. Like, then the boys just ran a bit hard and just, yeah, they just stayed in it. I was just more of a fan for Mitch Barnett. I was keen as when I saw him just come on and just, like, just didn't care, just kept running the way he did.
Yeah,
I love that.
He made a big difference, and I'm proud of him because he, I know how much that jersey meant to him, and he wanted to represent the Blues, and geez, he done a good job. But looking forward to your first game next week in the NRLW season. You're playing the Raiders at Campbelltown. What's the preparations been like?
We're still in our preseason, so I think we've just been focusing more of our attack and defense principles. Obviously, we had a trial game last weekend, so we're just tidying some things up and just reassuring one another what the principles are so we don't fall off that. I think next week we'll start preparing how we would like to attack the Canberra Raider girls. So, I can't really comment too much on that yet, but I'm pretty sure I think our girls are really ready to take them on. We did lose to them last year. There was a couple of games we did lose last year where we didn't play for the full 70, and I think we needed a bit more resilience in those games, so we could have been better in that area, and that's something we've been working hard on, just resilience and just playing for the full 70. So, we fell short to them in the last couple of minutes, and we don't want to repeat that. And I think a lot of the girls are still hurt, especially Kezzy. She got sent off in that game last year against them, and yeah, she just kept crying. I think, she's so pumped for this game, and so am I, even all the girls are. So, I think it's going to be a great game coming up against Canberra Raiders. In my opinion, I think they're probably the most physical team. You've got the likes of Maima in their middle, she loves to just go hard, and I think everyone around her. You've got Gracie Kemp, who's, got that experience, origin experience under her belt now, so that'll give her a lot of confidence as well, help boost the team that they have already. So it's not going to be an easy one, but it's going to be a fun one, so can't wait.
Well, it's going to be a big game. You versus Mama Dalfa, it's going to be a good clash. And I forgot to mention, actually, we had Tash Penatani on here on Nijin Footy on Monday, and she shared a bit about your game, your trial game against the Broncos in Brisbane. And your 80-meter try, was it? 100-meter try?
Nah.
Bumped off about 12 people, is that right?
No way.
Gassed the fullback in the corner, dived, and then you kicked the goal. That's what she said. You were that good.
Gosh, she's speaking about herself. She just had to use me to shadow it. Nah, Tash, she's definitely, I'm excited for her. I've just been loving the way she's been training. She's looking fit. She just got that leg drive, and she reminds me a bit of Payne Haas. Once she goes solid into contact, she doesn't stop.
Oh, that's a big call. Wow, I'm looking
forward. Possibly be her debut game against Canberra Raider girls. You would think the way she's been training, carries herself, she's been playing in ROW for a while, but no, surprisingly she hasn't. She's been playing just like local footy and that, not even Harvey Norman the last couple of seasons, and I think her game in that that Tonga test match last year is what caught Brett Camorley's eye, and hence her recruiting her, and hopefully she gets that NRW debut next weekend.
Last question before we head on to the upcoming NRL round. It's Try July still. If you score a try, are you going to have a bit of a celebration? Can we see something special?
We'll see how my lungs go, because last year I did score in a try July, and I was actually laying on the ground like so gassed. I think I must have played must have pushed my minutes out, and I just couldn't get up. But like the girls are trying to get me to do something, and I'm just like trying to dip a thumb. What? Couldn't even do that. So I'll see how the lungs go.
Have you got anything for a tea? Something simple?
100%. Get up, score a quick one. Just do the old Henry Favfili, cut the coconut, open it, have a drink. There you're done.
Oh, that's a good one.
Doesn't take much effort. It represents the islands. And keeps you hydrated.
You can wear a Nijan footy shirt. Oh, we've got a Nijan footy shirt. I think you should wear that under your jersey, score the try, lift up the shirt, Nijan footy. That's us. What about that one?
Sam, would you have loved it if I wore an MMT shirt under?
Oh, that would be even better. I know you're Tongan. You're from Mu'a. You're from my village.
Oh, crack up. Nah, you know what's funny? Give you a little story. I used to be the only, not the only, but I probably said the full Samoan in the origin camps, and there was Samoa Matafa, Yasmin Clydesdale, Tiana Penatani, Vanessa Foliaki. I think I was the only Samoan until Fui Talifu Moana come in, my first ever origin camp I went into, and I pretty much just felt like I was Tongan. So the girls and that would just say, Sully, you're Tongan, and I would embrace it anyways. Like, doesn't matter to me. Like, we're all from the Pacific, and I just, I would have pride of just pretending I'm Tongan, like, and I loved it.
We'll claim you, and I think that's probably the secret. So the men's team had more Samoans in the team. They win the comp compared to Tongans. Maybe your team, the New South Wales Blues, next year, there'll be more Samoans. Get rid of the Tongans. Oh. Now, are we going to air out there in Tonga? No, I can't say that. Let's move on to
before I get in trouble. All right. What game stands out for you, and which players are you looking forward to watching?
I've got the Storms and Roosters game.
Big game.
It's a big game. And they've named all their origin players. And both teams are fresh off a bye from last week. So, look, Storms have beaten Roosters 9 times of their past 10 clashes. So, and Roosters are quite finding their form at the minute. Like, I reckon they've got a solid chance here, and I'm going to back them to go head-to-head and probably win this one. It's just, I think if they can literally fix, like, their discipline and that, they're probably on their way to win this comp, like, not even going to lie. And I'm not being biased, but they're just coming in form at such a right time. Storms have only lost one game too at their home ground, so the team's also strengthened by the addition of, like, Harry Grant, obviously backing it up from Origin, and then you've got Nick Meaney, who's returning from a calf injury in the centre. So there's a lot of players as well, like, to name that are returning, like the likes of Joseph Tuali'i. So he returns from his suspension. I reckon he'll have a big game for the Roosters. We all know the feeling of when you're sidelined for a while. We've all seen that he was in that Origin, that last camp with the boys, and that probably would have kept a bit of inspiration in him to want to return and play some footy. And some Asian players I'd probably look forward to watching is Sean Bloor and Eliasa Katoa. Mm-hmm. They're both up against some experience of opposing players, which is Angus Crichton and Victor Radley. Those two boys, Sean and Eliasa, I think, they're going to want to do a lot to contain him and do their best to put their team forward. So, and you got Sua Fatlong off the bench. Sorry, I got a lot of Asian players. This is such a good game, like I said. So, you got Sua Fatlong off the bench. We've seen what he can do. He does a lot of fancy footy, got great footwork. And expect a lot from him as well. And lucky but not last, Spencer Lear-Neal. Off the bench with Nelson Asafa Filimona. I reckon those are a great clash. especially the fact that they're coming off the bench.
Really great matchups. Yeah.
You got Spencer, who's just bloody ran off the back fence a couple of times and probably the best arena you could ever play at the highest level. Playing, he's done that just like that, like run off the back fence. So it's a lot of confidence as well to take out of that game and to go back to Clubland and just, you know, just want to go another level. And I know Nelson probably want to do a lot to contain him. Yeah, and probably, sorry, I forgot Terrell May and Toi Kamikamika, who was starting props. So, like I said, across the whole team, and I think there's some great players to look out for, and especially those Nijin players I've just named.
Yeah, there's plenty of Nijin players that are representing both teams. I think another standout for me, just looking at the teams, is Sitili Tupou-Niua, who's just signed with the Bulldogs. He's replacing Joseph Manu at centre as well, and his centre pairing partner is Suoli'i. So, I think he'll have a big game, and I'm looking forward to watching this top four clash and who comes out on top. So, what's the other game that you're looking forward to, and the other players that you're keen to watch?
Oh, the Penrith Panthers and the Dolphins. No brainer. They're in the top eight. But yeah, Nathan Cleary is set to return from his third hamstring injury. He's been sidelined for 10 weeks. Having the likes of him return, I know that the boys would be pumped. But you've also got his pairing half, Jerome Luai, who'll be backing himself up after the Origin performance he just gave us on Wednesday. I think Cleary will be in great hands. He'll ease his way back in. And yeah, you got the Hammer and Kalfusi also named to play after their Origin appearance. And I think they'll give the Dolphins plenty of strength. I'm not sure. There's a lot of players here to name. You got Casey McLean, second game from the Penrith Panthers. So he knows the speed of it. I reckon he'll go another level this game. And you got Moses Leota, James Fisher-Harris, who we up against Jesse Bromwich and Tevita Pangai. I've been loving the way Tevita's been playing for the Dolphins. He's brought a different energy in for their middles. And what's really dangerous of him is his offloads. So confident he gets in there and just gets it out straight away. So I think that'll be something I know the Penrith, those boys will be looking out to. I just noticed the starting forwards for Dolphins, except for Max Plath, are all of Pacific players.
Yep.
Which is pretty hectic because normally we find out often in the back lineups. But yeah, that was pretty cool to see. And you've got Paul Alamotti, Zach Tago, Taruva. He's Sunia. Been quiet. I haven't been seeing much of him. Keen to watch him. And you've got the young guns on the bench for Penrith, Laurent Partia and Trent Toilol. Short story, Laurent Partia actually went to church with him.
Oh, okay.
My parents still go to church with him. So, yeah, just hearing, I used to actually teach him a lot of our dances and stuff.
You taught him everything he knows now, is that what?
Yeah, no, because I used to teach all the dances and that for our church, and Laurent would always be there with his brothers and that, and it's pretty cool to see him play in our role at that level. Just seeing what he is a little so he never used to listen to me when I tried to teach, but I'm pretty sure he's different when it comes to the footy stuff.
His old man would be proud of Ronnie Partier. He's they had all the shirts made up for his debut. And I think he played in the same teams as Isaiah Katoa. I think this could be Isaiah's first game back at Penrith since he left.
Yeah.
Which would be a good one. That would be good to see that match up. But did you mention you're doing a camp? Is that right? The Salatonga Tuki camp? Is that?
We just launched it on Tuesday. That just went. I was a bit nervous. So St. Mary's Rugby League Club, they approached me do a collab like in honour of in my name, something that will go forever now with the club to help develop the young female players that they have registered. I don't know. I'm still trying to wrap my head around it, that it was so successful. A lot of young girls, their parents had reached out. I didn't know that a lot of those girls that were fortunate to be a part of it, they had their junior, they call it the Cubs or something like that. So this is like your Harold Mattson. They had their trials and that going on with different clubs outside of it, and apparently they went really well. And the parents were just saying that everything that we taught to those girls. They took it away and they implemented it straight away into their game. It was so easy. So, yeah.
Oh, cool.
Should be proud of that. Yeah, very proud. Just quickly,
did you say St. Mary's Saints? Were you a St. Mary's junior or a Glenmore Park Brumbies junior?
Ooh. Yeah, I'll make it clear. So my junior rugby league club is actually Glenmore Park Brumbies, but I did play Harvey Norman for St. Mary's Rugby League. I was torn during my Harvey Norman teams. I've been hesitant to go to St. Mary's for a while, but then the reason why I went to St. Mary's and played and why I'm so drawn to the club is because of my late brother. That's his junior rugby league club, and also my little brother, Rocky. I just felt so drawn and close to the club because of my brothers, and both of them mean so much to me. In my family, we only have two boys, and there's four girls. So yeah, it was a no brainer for me to want to collab with them. Glenmore Park Brummies come forward with something similar, I would jump at the opportunity. But I've been big with trying to grow the women's game as well, and trying to add to it in my own way. And when St. Mary's came to me with it, I was in Origin camp when the whole opportunity came up.
It's something that you should be proud of, and you know, your last name Tongatuki gets to live on in that clinic. So. Well done to St. Mary's and also yourself. I'm really looking forward to seeing that journey. Boys. That's it for us. Thank you again for jumping on Nijin Footy Fridays and giving all your expert knowledge. And we'll touch on again next week before your NRLW kickoff.
Sounds good, boys. I can't wait.
Culture Shock.
Yes, last week we went to Northern Marianas after your trip to the Micronesian Games, Sammy. But we're bringing it back to our own cultures for a few weeks, where we're off to Tonga today.
The Kingdom of Tonga. And I'm just going to give you a bit of a culture shock on the Tongan flag. Red predominantly, with a white square in the top left-hand corner with a red cross in the center of that white square. Tonga being deeply rooted in Christianity, in their Christianity faith. The red actually symbolizes crucifixion of Jesus and the blood that he shed in the Bible, and the white represents purity. So that's why it's in their flag. So that's my culture shock too.
Purity,
just purity. I don't know, like it just in terms of Jesus being pure in the Christianity faith. So there you go. So that's why when people talk about why the Pacifica players are so entrenched, you know, with their faith, like it's rippled right through.
It's on the flag.
It's on the flag. It's on the coat of arms. And T, apparently, yeah, 97% of Tongans are of Christianity faith. So there's my culture shock for this week. So where are we going next week? To Cook Islands?
To the Cook Islands. How many islands in the Cook Islands?
Man, you say this to me all the time. Six. Well, how many's in the stars?
Come on,
the stars.
Bro.
The stars
15,
around.
15, brother. 15.
Yeah, okay. Sorry. So I'll eventually remember it. But we'll head to the Cook Islands next week, so looking forward to it.
Hey, let's get to one of the most well-known Tongans in the world, Toto Kefu.
The Rugby Union Preview.
Kefu! Toto Kefu!
With Toto Kefu.
Yes, joining us every week to chat all things rugby union is a man who has scored 50 points for the Wallabies, has the record for being the longest-serving coach for Tonga, surely a future Hall of Famer, the one, the only, Toto Kefu. Kefs! Look at that jersey. How good.
You look good in blue, mate.
I promised my mate T, we had a bet and I lost. So I'm a man of my word.
I love it, brother. I love it. What did you think of the game, mate? What a game it was, too.
Oh, tough, mate. One of the best I've seen in a while. They deserved it. They deserved it. It was brutal. Someone had to give eventually. And, mate, yeah, Blues, they totally deserve it. I hope they're still drinking, hey? I hope they're
I think the majority of them are getting set to play this weekend in the NRL and back up for their club. So, crazy game. You'd never think at halftime, not one try was scored. What was it, 2-0? Yeah. And everyone still be locked in the game and just admire. Like, I was in awe, admiring every single player that had... Yeah. That was on that field. It was a crazy performance from both.
It's one thing the Origin has over its over rugby. It's just that the connection the teams have to the supporters and the people, that passion. We just don't have that. We kind of lost that with the Queensland, the Reds, New Waratahs clashes over the years and players moving, changing teams all the time. So we just don't have that real passion and support for your state teams, which is a shame, big shame.
Yeah, it is like that. It's probably more towards test footy where we get that sort of intensity and that passion. But before we move on, just that jersey, can you just give whose jersey is that? Because obviously it's not a New South Wales League jersey. It looks like an old school Waratahs, that one.
It's an old school Waratahs jersey. I think this is either Willie O's, I might have changed. So it's a number 8.
Oh, that's beautiful.
And I've changed. It's an old school one. I didn't even realise I had it. And usually I would have burnt it by now, but luckily I held on to it.
Oh, man, it feels good.
Man, outstanding work, Kev. Man of his word, kept his bet with T here.
Right.
Good stuff,
mate. Men of integrity.
But,
us rugby boys are men of integrity.
That is, mate. We are definitely different, and we've got higher standards, that's for sure. But let's move over to rugby union, and we'll start off with the Tonga-Spain game, and we'll touch on a little bit of last week on the way they performed. T was looking at me a bit funny last week in review from the Monday on Monday, and I said that it seemed like there was a bit of maturity to Tonga's game. I thought they were, you know, holding their feet nicely. There were some brilliant moments. Obviously, the handling errors sort of let them down.
Yeah.
But T thought I was having a shot at your coaching from the last 8 years when I was saying there was maturity to the game.
What did you mean by that, T? Jeez.
Well, he said there was a big improvement, the other words, too. So I was like, wait, who was the coach before that? And then, yeah, it was our man, Big Kefs. No.
Well, I actually thought we were a good chance to win that game, especially with Samoa beating him the week before. But just like you mentioned, simple handling errors, just simple mistakes. In Italy, that team wasn't by far their best team. They had made some changes from the week before, but look, they've made some changes this week for the game against Spain. They've certainly strengthened up their front row. So Sefo Sakalia comes in the hooker with Tau Kolomatangi, who I've used before in the squad. Benny Tamafuna still skippers aside. Lotu Inissi starts. Thankfully, you know, he's probably one of the form number 8s of the Super Rugby competition. And Talusa Vainu comes in at fullback, which is a massive addition. I think this team is stronger. And I watched Spain versus Samoa. Did you guys watch that game?
Yeah, yeah. Tough conditions to play.
In torrential rain. Yep. The conditions were horrific. But Samoa got over them. So Spain actually did well. They're not going to be easy this week. So Tonga will have to play well to beat them.
Fetuli Paya in the centres, have you had much to do with him? Because I thought in that game he was rock solid in the midfield, and obviously his try at the end in the 75th minute was outstanding. But have you had much to do with him?
Yeah, he's been, because we had, he was on the fringe of our squads for the last couple of years, and he didn't make the World Cup squad. Well, he missed out to Charles Puitau, Feketoa, Peter Arkey from Toulouse, and also George from one of the French clubs as well. So we had three All Blacks.
Big names there, yeah.
And then we had Peter Arkey, who'd won 3 championships with Toulouse. So a very competitive position. So he missed out, but he was always a quality player, we thought, for Tuli. He played well. Look, they'll need him, I think, to play well this week in the midfield. You know, his profile is obviously making big meters up through the middle of the field, especially off first phase off set piece. So if they can get him going and then build a little bit of momentum off that, they should be able to score some points. But it's not going to be easy. They need to shore up those handling errors. The lineouts were a bit off as well. They went to the front a lot to secure ball, so they need to probably go to middle back to attack, get better ball to attack off, I would say.
Yeah, it must be frustrating as a coach when you see some of the screaming catches that they take, you know, those 50-50 ones, and then all of a sudden the one that you're supposed to catch like every day of the week, it just falls out of their hands, and you go, what's just happening? You just took a screamer just before and you dropped a simple one. But I can imagine as a coach that it gets frustrating. Wallabies team, obviously they played last week. They got the back-to-back win against Wales. They move on to Georgia. A few changes. We see Len Ikitau come back in, Zane Nongor, and we see Alan Alatoa come in and skipper the team. So far, what have you made of the Wallabies' performance after the second game, and what do you make of those changes?
Yeah, look, I think a pass mark. There's some players who are playing very well. You know, I think Valentini, Dunganu, and Paisama have been really strong, and they've been kept for this game, which is good. There's a total of 17 changes, I think there are. So there's been a host of changes. I think Schmidt's wanting to rotate the squad, but also just keeping the spine of the team there. Lucan strong again. He's getting better, as with Daniela Tupou. Lenny Ikitau coming back. I think he's going to have to play well in this. He's a different player to Josh Fluk. I think he's more of a attacking triple threat player. And I think he suits Paisami in the centres. Paisami's more that gain line ball carrier. He can offload, but Ikitau, he loves putting those little kicks through. He can offload as well, and he can set play up. So I think they're a better combination, Paisami and Ikitau, but Ikitau's been out for a while. He'll need to perform just to make sure that his name's on that selectors table every week.
Yeah, I was going to ask you that around their back three, with Fluk and even right at the back, just how do they inject themselves a little bit more rather than, you know, waiting for those one or two opportunities. So I was just going to ask you if that's what Len Ikitau brings, just a bit more involvement, not just, you know, a one-dimensional player. Obviously, you said it there, he's a bit more of a triple threat, which will be good to see. Also, we look at the Wallaroos, and they will be playing in September versus Ireland. They've got Wales in the WXV2 when they go over to South Africa. Look, it seems like they've almost gone backwards a little bit, the Wallaroos, after that big loss to the Black Ferns. So it was up there in Queensland. What do you make of the Wallaroos so far from, I guess, since the new coach has come in?
Yeah, bloodbath at Ballymore, I think it was.
Was that the headline up there, was it?
The three B's, bloodbath at Ballymore. Yeah, look, disappointing, but it's hard because you look at that New Zealand team, the Silver Ferns. You know, they're fully contracted players. They've got 30 to 40 players fully contracted. Their coaching staff, who I'm very good friends with a couple of them, they're contracted for the whole 2-3 years. So it's a full-time program. And for them to play against our girls, who are really only part-time, partially contracted, it's always going to be tough. This will be a great tour for the girls to go overseas and play against the teams in Europe. Great experience for them. But until we get a full-time program going for those girls, you know, it's going to be hard to compete.
Yeah, you're right. Another big game. Fiji versus the All Blacks over in San Diego, neutral ground. Man, this is huge for Fiji in terms of where they're heading with their program, the depth of their players. They come up against, obviously, the might of the All Blacks.
Oh, this is huge for all teams that play the All Blacks. It's a massive challenge. You know, one of the most iconic teams in all of the world. And Fiji's no different. They would have grown up. These boys would have grown up dreaming of playing for the All Blacks before the Fijian team. So, look, a massive challenge for them. Neutral ground. Look, I actually think it's going to be a really, really close game. Razors made a host of changes compared to the last game against England, which they played. That wasn't an unbelievable test series. And you could probably argue the All Blacks have had a much more stronger lead up into this game, but Razor's made 11 changes, so he's rotating the squad, giving everyone a go. This is a good chance for Fiji to actually possibly go really close here. If they can get their big backs running, if they can create some momentum, you know, that continuity, create some offloads and pop-ups, all that kind of stuff. If they can get back to that, I think they're a very good chance. They need to have some parity around the set piece, win their own set piece ball. If they can do that, control territory, I think they could be in with a chance.
Yeah, Semi Radradra comes back on the wing as well, which it's good to see him there. You know, if Mick Byrne looking at the England test, what's one thing do you reckon he will take away from that? Some lessons where I think we've got a competitive edge and found a hole in the All Blacks.
Oh, look, I think the forward play, once the forward play around that set piece and those crashes up through the middle, if the Fiji can turn those forwards around and get good territory and play in the right parts of the field, I think that'll go a long way in just denting their forward power in the forwards for the All Blacks. Sorry,
yeah, it'd be a huge game. On another one too, Kef, I saw that Richie Mo'unga went into Blues camp for 4 days. Tana Umanga's coming out to Penrith next week to spend a week with the Panthers. You know, in your time as a coach or a player, did you ever spend much time with any other sporting codes or other coaches to help you with your development or just try and see where you can gain a competitive edge?
I spent, during my time with Tonga, I spent some time with a lot of the league clubs, South Sydney in particular. I went out to the Canberra Bulldogs. You're just interested to see how other high-performance environments operate. We're all in the business of winning, so it's a great observation to go out there and see what other sporting teams are doing. Richie Mo'unga, geez, I think Richie Mo'unga would have had a lot of say in those dropouts and those kicks that they got a return out of AT.
Jerome Luai had it on the dot. You know,
yeah,
a couple meters in from the sideline, 10 to 12 meters away from the try line. Just had it in the right position, and New South Wales, I think they got him back pretty much every dropout. Brad Fuller was commentating the game, and he even mentioned, you know, Richie Mo'unga being in camp, and if he spent some time with Jerome, because he had it on the point every kick. So,
one of the other things that league have taken out of rugby union is when they put those cross high balls into the corner, catcher going up, but his own players running escorts, trying to block the other players coming through. So that's something they've taken out of rugby. And I think there was there nearly a penalty called, I think, on Tuesday night about that interference as well.
Yeah, Zach Lomax, he come in, tried going up, and I think it was Hamiso just escorted him off the ball. And they're trying to cut that out of the play now where, you know, you do that penalty. So interfering that opportunity for the player to get up and get the ball. And I think even, you know, we mentioned Tana Umanga going to Penrith Panthers, you know, the amount of knowledge he's going to gain from a club like Penrith Panthers, you know, winning 3 premierships in a row. I know Tana's done a lot himself, but being able to transfer, you know, how that organisation is run by then taking it to the Moana Pacifica as well.
Yeah, you never want to stop learning as a coach. You just always want to see what's out there, what's new, what's working, what's not. But what else did you take from your time learning from those coaches, Kef?
The biggest thing I took is, so in rugby league, they love tackling on the ball. Normally in rugby union, we're low chop. But the second guy, so if we get double shoulders on a ball carrier, the second guy usually goes on top, goes on the ball. So what we learned was just a lot of stuff around underhooks and manipulating their arms, carrying the ball and twisting and trying to hold them up and those kind of positions and scenarios. So I got unbelievable stuff, learnings from that, from league.
Yeah, because in rugby union, the ball carrier is trying to find the ground early, is that correct?
Yep.
So in rugby league, to slow the ruck down, you do a lot of the work up top before you go down to the ground. So, closing that space, grabbing handles, controlling the ball, because there's a lot of players that can throw offloads as well, and then it just buys a couple more seconds before they, you know, take it to the ground. So,
there you go. See, look, he's lit up here. He was a bit mute there for about 5 minutes,
and then now league, he's talk all day.
Rugby league defense.
Talk
look at him.
Union, no, I fall asleep, mate.
This is the most he's ever talked.
It is, mate. Outstanding. Hey, that's really good insights there. But before we go, Kef, can you give us your predictions on all the games?
I'm going to go for Tonga against Spain. New Zealand to beat Fiji, but I think it's going to be close. It can go either way. Australia to win over Georgia.
What do you think New Zealand wins by, just because we've got our knockout tipping coming up?
Oh, look, I think it's within a try.
Ooh, that's close.
That's a close one.
Ooh. Mate, Fiji are good these days. They're bloody good.
I think it's 11:30 in the morning, Sydney time. We'll see that on Saturday. So I'm going to get up. Well, I should be up anyway by 11:30. no sleeping. But no worries, Kev. Always appreciate your time. And we'll talk to you next week.
Awesome, gentlemen. Keep up the good work.
Feel free to leave that jersey on for the rest of the
rest
day.
Of the day.
Well, I'm taking it off. I'm itchy.
He's itchy. See you, awesome, Kev. Mate. Take care. Boys.
Hello, my name's Alana Sikimedi, and you're listening to Nijin Footy.
Shh. Quiet, boys and girls. It's Professor Paulo.
Yes, each week we have a question from Professor Paulo, and then we keep a score. And if the loser after the season will be shouting the winner a fancy lunch. And the score is, I am on 8.5. Sammy, you're on 9.
Get my Wagyu steak ready, brother. That's what I want for my fancy feed.
Let's go, Professor Paulo.
With the Olympics around the corner and starting next week, my question is regarding the Papua New Guinea National Olympic team. How many Olympics have they attended? And the winning answer is nearest to the official answer.
What was the question again?
How many times have PNG represented, been in the Olympics?
I'm going to say, oh my goodness, four.
Four? Damn, I don't know whether I go high or low.
I've got no idea. I'm sure
four might be on point. I will go, I'm going three.
This was a tough one, but good luck, boys. The answer is 11.
Oh, what? Bro, the disrespect we have towards.
Sorry to all our
apologies.
PNG listeners. I was just trying to think.
That's a long time. Yeah, 44 years if we go back from.
Don't ask me to do the math. Don't worry about it. But I'll take the win anyway with that low score. So perfect.
Let's get ready to rumble.
Knockout tipping time.
Yes, this is our knockout tipping comp. We pick one team each week from rugby league and rugby union, and we can't pick them again. The score is 27 to me, 23 to you, Sammy.
Oh, I'm behind here. Let's go league.
Go league? All right, we're going league. Who are you picking?
Where are the Warriors will get over the Raiders down in Canberra? Cole's not going to affect them.
Warriors over the Raiders in Canberra. Canberra's strong.
I'm going the Warriors. I'm going to go the upset.
Josh Papali'i.
Nah, I'm going to go Warriors. They need to make a charge.
They
need to make a charge. Come on, the Waz. I don't really support you, but yeah, I'm going to go them.
All right, so you're going Warriors to beat Canberra in Canberra.
Yep.
I'm going Souths to beat the Tigers. Now, Souths not having...
You love going against the Tigers, don't you, mate? He's good this play. That's why I've gone wrong with my strategy. Should be just choosing.
Don't look at the winner. Look at the teams that are most likely going to lose. So
smart. I'm going simple, but smart.
Souths are on a run home.
All right, sweet. That's where you're going. Rugby Union, Fiji against the All Blacks.
Totai said?
Yeah, I know. I think he's... That Blues jersey that he was wearing just really clouded his train of thought.
You think the All Blacks are going to...
I think it's going to be... I don't think it's going to be that tight, but I reckon I'll give you 21 points. There's a 21-point either head start or someone's got to catch up. What are you going?
Ooh, okay. I will go...
You want Fiji with the head start or do you want...
Nah, I want All Blacks.
Oh, you want the All Blacks.
Born in New Zealand, I'll go All Blacks. You're always in Fiji.
Ooh, is this the first time you're going against Kef?
Well, you said the blue jersey made his
a little bit funny. Okay, sweet. Yeah, I'll take Fiji with 21-point head start.
Would you take 15?
No, I'm going to take 21.
Nah, I'll back the All Blacks.
Well, that is our time up for another week of Nijin Footy. And remember, you can listen back to our Monday and Friday chats wherever you get your podcasts.
Beautiful. Up the Blues and Ka Kite.
This show was produced on the lands of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation.